We're looking now at Jeremiah chapter 14. So if you want to open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 14, we'll go through it. This chapter is somewhat unique in that we get several intercessions for the people, on behalf of the people by Jeremiah. Jeremiah is really broken. And the chapter opens with a drought, or perhaps there have been a series of droughts. We get this in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning the droughts. And so verse 2 to verse 6, we get a description of the drought. No rain had come. And as we say here, there could have been several of those. And it's fairly graphic. It says in verse 5, for example, yes, the deer also give birth in the field, but left because there was no grass. In other words, the deer just left its offspring there. There was no grass to feed them. The land is parched. The ground is parched. There's no rain in the land. Verse 4. You know, one of the things that God had promised Israel was that if they were obedient, he would send them rain. And we get this in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy, Moses says in verse 10 that he would bring them into a land which is not like the land of Egypt. He says, where in Egypt you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as the vegetable garden, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks waters from the rain of heaven. So Israel was dependent upon the rain from heaven, and God had promised that he would always send that rain to them, and that Israel was not like the land of Egypt. You know, Egypt, its source of water, there was no rain in Egypt, but the source of its water for its crops was the Nile River, and that water had to be pushed up by foot. They had irrigation channels or canals, and they had foot pumps where the people would have to push on these foot pumps that would pump the water from the Nile into the farmlands. Israel was not like that. Israel had no great river. The Jordan River was nothing compared to the Nile. And they were totally dependent upon heaven. And of course, this speaks volumes, doesn't it? Israel was a dependent people. They were dependent on the living God. They were dependent on Yahweh for their sustenance and so on. And as long as they were obedient, that rain would come. But then we have in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 24, where it says that if they were disobedient, then the heavens would be as brass or as bronze, and the earth under you is iron. This gives us the idea of no rain. And in verse 24 of Deuteronomy 28, the Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you're destroyed. In other words, the only thing that would be raining down upon them is the dust from the dry earth that was blowing around and coming down from the sky. No rain at all. So that's if they were disobedient. And this is exactly what happened. And so on top of the threatened captivity, that the Babylonians were going to come, and this is mentioned later in this chapter, they're also already presently experiencing drought. So it's sort of judgment upon judgment, you know, drought, famine, war. You know, God uses these things to speak to his people, especially his earthly people, Israel. And then we move on down, and we get this intercession, the first of a couple of intercessions by Jeremiah, verse 7 to 9. Jeremiah makes a confession. He says, O Lord, our iniquities testify against us. Do it for your name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you. And we have this lovely little expression that Jeremiah has for the Lord. He calls him in verse 8, O hope of Israel. His savior in the time of trouble. So Jeremiah is pleading and he's calling upon the name of the Lord, the savior of Israel. And why should you be like a stranger in the land? In other words, where are you, Lord? Why are you like a stranger here and not helping us? So he's interceding. And then in verse 9, at the end, he says, yet you, O Lord, are in our midst, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. So Jeremiah confesses that, you know, they were God's people. And he, technically, he was still in their midst. The temple was still standing. And he's calling upon the Lord. But then we get the Lord's response in verse 10 through to the end of verse 12. Basically, what the Lord tells him is that, it's plainly in verse 11, the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and grain offering, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. So basically, the Lord is telling Jeremiah, don't bother praying for them because nothing's going to change. Unless there's repentance and they're not going to repent. He says in verse 10, this people love to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. And then in verse 13 to 16, we get some words of the Lord about the false prophets, because there were false prophets in the land, where Jeremiah was warning the people to repent and that the Babylonians would come and that there would be war and captivity and suffering. The false prophets were saying, no, there will be peace, 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 peace. And we've seen this before earlier in the book of Jeremiah. So in verse 13, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. So the false prophets were saying what Jeremiah is saying is wrong. In fact, there will be an assured peace in this place. Then we get the Lord's response, verse 14, to Jeremiah's words about the false prophet. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, a divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy my name, who I did not send, and so on. We see that the very things that they said would not come would come upon them. And we get that in verse 16. And the people to whom they prophesy also shall be cast out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them, nor their wives or their sons or their daughters, for I will pour out their wickedness on them. So the false prophets would perish along with the people when the Babylonians would come during that captivity. And then we get some more words Jeremiah is told to speak. And we get Jeremiah saying here in verse 17, let my eyes flow with tears night and day, and let them not cease. You know, we've said before, chapter 13, Jeremiah weeps. Chapter 9, Jeremiah weeps. And here he's weeping. Jeremiah, we call him the weeping prophet for a reason. And so he's weeping for the virgin daughter, verse 17, of my people, has been broken with a mighty stroke and with a very severe blow. If I go out to the field, then behold those slain with the sword. And if I enter the city, then behold those sick from famine. Yes, both prophet and priest go about in a land they do not know. And this is actually a prediction about the Babylonian captivity. It had not happened yet. It's just one more of a series of predictions that they would be taken into captivity, and the prophets and the priests would go about in a land they do not know. That's Babylon. And then we have verse 19 to 22. Jeremiah again intercedes for the people. Verse 19 says, have you utterly rejected Judah? Has your soul loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, but there was no good, and for a time of healing, and there was trouble. And then we get Jeremiah confessing on behalf of the people. Jeremiah himself was sinless. Well, not literally sinless. He was a sinner like the rest of us, but he was a righteous man, a godly man, a holy man. And these things weren't coming upon the nation of Judah as a result of Jeremiah's sins. Jeremiah was not an idolater or a fornicator and all of these things, but he would feel the effects of it. And he's acknowledging the nation's sin, making them his own. And so we see and Daniel is of the same spirit, where he confesses the nation's sin as if it were his own sins. You see, this is intercession. Daniel interceded for the people. Moses interceded for the people. Jeremiah interceded for the people. So verse 20, we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. See, we have. Jeremiah doesn't say here, you have. That's the spirit that we should always take up when we see failure amongst God's people. It's easy just simply to point the finger. But really, it's a question of the fact that that we have failed. It's just not that you have failed, but we have failed. And that's the spirit that the Lord appreciates. And, you know, that's really what the Lord Jesus did. Although he was indeed the sinless one when he was on the cross, he took our sin upon them. He confessed them as his own. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you get the prophets like Daniel and Jeremiah, you know, they're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. And so should we. He says, do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us. Jeremiah here pleads with the covenant. Now, I read the words of the covenant, the Mosaic covenant, in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. And it was conditional. You know, if they obeyed the Lord, then rain would come. If they disobeyed the Lord, there would be no rain. If they obeyed the Lord, there would be blessing and food and peace. And if they didn't obey the Lord, there would be famine and there would be war. That's the conditional covenant, the Mosaic covenant. But perhaps Jeremiah, when he says here in verse 21, the end of verse 21, remember, do not break your covenant with us. Perhaps he's referring to the Abrahamic covenant, to the covenant made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is unconditional, that they were his people unconditionally. And they still are, by the way. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 11, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And so Israel will be taken up again in a future day, not on the basis of the covenant of Moses that's done with them, but on the basis of the original covenant made. And within that, of course, is contained the new covenant. They will come into the new covenant blessings that we do partake of now, at least the blood of the new covenant. We have the blessings, although there is no specific covenant made with the church. The covenant is actually made with Israel. And so in verse 22, are there among the idols of the nations that can cause rain? So we're back to the original subject. In the opening of the chapter, verse 1, Jeremiah spoke about, in the earlier verses, I think it's down to about verse 6, is it? Yeah. It's dealing with the drought. There was no rain. And so what Jeremiah prays here in his intercessory prayer, are there among the idols of the nations that can cause rain? Jeremiah is saying basically it's a rhetorical question. No, there isn't. We remember the days of Ahab and Jezebel that there was no rain for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed to God and it didn't rain. And then at the end of that 3.5 year period, he prayed again to the Lord and the rain came. The prophets of Baal could not bring rain. They were shown to be false prophets and impotent. But the living God is not impotent. He has all power. He's omnipotent. And so, or can the heavens give showers? Are you not he, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait for you, since you have made all these. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the creator. He has these weather systems in his hand, not the idols, not the Baals, not the pagan gods, but Yahweh, Jehovah, the living God. And so that's always a good word for us. And also to remember what I mentioned just a little earlier, to have that same spirit that Daniel and Jeremiah had in a very preeminent way, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's look at other sins as if they were our own and confess them as such and pray for them. Amen.